Hi, my name is Simone Vincenzi, co-founder of GTEx, and in today's episode, I talked about what I've learned from working in more than 300 different restaurants, how events help me grow a six-figure coaching and speaking business, and the last, the importance of learning how to sell so you can always have clients in your business.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Simone Vincenzi. He is the co-founder of GTEx, podcast host and speaker. GTEx helps speakers and coaches to dominate, helping them create online or live events that sell without being a douchebag. Simone, how are you today, my friend?
I am incredibly well. Thank you very much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure being on your show. I've listened to your episodes and I absolutely love it. So it's a pleasure being here.
Well, I'm a fan of you as well. So I'm excited to learn more about your story, your history, and all that other fun stuff. But before we get into all that, I have to start the podcast off the same way I do every single time, and that's with an icebreaker. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
You know, it sounds weird. It sounds very weird because I'm Italian, but I'm a weird Italian because I'm an Italian which is vegan, which I find a bit difficult. So I
you may be the only one.
there are a few of us. That's hummus. So where I would go is a place called the Hummus Brothers. And there is a chain, I find here in London, Hummus Brothers, and I ordered my hummus with some pita, some fresh tomato, some lettuce. I'm the happiest man in the world.
Very cool.
That's where I would go.
So you are 100% vegan. How long have you been vegan for?
I've been vegan for 6 years now.
Interesting.
So
we're going to get into that because I'm curious because I recently just went like vegetarian. I'm not declaring myself anything. I'm not vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a pescatarian. But I am curious to hear a little bit more about your lifestyle. So we're going to get into that later. Without further ado, Simone, please tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Absolutely. So I came to the UK around say 8 years ago, and the reason why I arrived to the UK from Italy, it is because I used to work in restaurants. Now, I've been very successful in the catering industry from a young age because I started working in restaurants, you know, for fun and when I was 14. One for fun because I loved it. The other reason why was for necessity because my father, unfortunately, started drinking a bit too much and my mom decided to split up. So suddenly there was not much more money in the house. I don't know, before we could afford going on holiday every now and then. But then we arrived to a point where there was just what was necessary to live, to pay the bills and that's it. And I said, no, I don't want. So I went out and I found a great place in a restaurant and I loved it. And I loved it so much that I wanted to quit school at 15 and work in restaurants. Now, as you can imagine, my mom wasn't that impressed with that decision. So she gave me a good kick in the ass and she said, no, you're going to study. So I studied, but then I went to work in a restaurant every single evening. And by the age of 19, I worked already in more than 300 different restaurants because I wanted to learn from everyone. And I also became the youngest Michelin star restaurant manager in Europe. So I managed my first Michelin star restaurant when I was 19. Now, at the age of 21, I was living the dream. I was earning a lot of money and, you know, I was clubbing every night, playing poker, strip clubs, you name it, I did it. And I received an offer to work in the UK. So I came in a Michelin star restaurant, Yalin, Madonna. We had great clients there. And then at 22, I got bored. So if you think about it, I started working very intensively from the age of 14 to the age of 22 in a restaurant. So I had already 8 years career. So I had my midlife crisis quite early, let's put it this way. And I decided I had to do something different, and I didn't know what to do. So I went, like many people do, to seminars, reading books, going listening to podcasts like your podcast, going to every event I could book myself in. And I remember, like it was yesterday, one day I was sitting in the front row of an event. And I said, you know what? I want to do that. I want to be a speaker. That's what I want to do, because I always love speaking and I'll always love talking to people. That's why I was so good as a manager, as a waiter, a coaching or a speaking business. That was the next question. And that's where the entrepreneurial journey began.
Very interesting. Very cool. Well, I, you know, the first question that comes to mind that I think of when I'm listening to your story was, what did you worked at 300 restaurants, right?
Yeah.
What did you learn from working at 300 restaurants, and how does that equate to what you're doing now in business?
Absolutely. There are two big learnings that I got from that experience. One was customer service. Because, you know, what makes the difference between a great restaurant and a rubbish restaurant? Well, of course, food is a big part of it, right? You want to go in a restaurant that gives you good food. But the reality is, you go into a restaurant that gives you good food, but the service is rubbish. Would you go back to that restaurant? Service is outstanding. You have a great relationship with the manager, with the waiter. Would you go back to that restaurant?
No, definitely not. Well, if you have a great if you have a great relationship.
Yeah, if you have a great relationship.
Yeah, if I have a great relationship, then yeah, I would consider going back.
Absolutely. So, because the majority of the difference is that makes a great restaurant as well is who is serving the food and what is the experience that you have while you're sitting at the table, right? Because if you have a rubbish experience, then you're not going to go back. Of course, the food needs to be important. It's a blend of two of them. But a great service can mask an average food. And that's what I understood, and that's how I applied to my business to make sure that service was the most important thing that I could give to my clients, making them feel special, making them feel that they had the best experience of their life. I imagine one of my clients is when I'm giving them a service, I'm serving them a meal, and I want to have think about it. When you go to a restaurant, you go there because you want to switch off most of the time, right? So you had your busy day. Maybe you had an argument with your partner, if you have a partner, an argument with your team members, a text message that you didn't want to receive, something, every day something happens. So you want to have a good time and switch off. And I wanted to be able to provide that. So that's how I'm using in my business. And the other thing that that I've learned, it was about having different experiences. What I got from working in 300 different restaurants was that I've learned such a variety of services, a variety of ways to serve my clients, that that's why I became so good so quickly. Because I've experienced the industry. I knew the industry. I knew what clients wanted. I knew what made them feel happy. I knew what made them smile. I knew what made them tick, even before they were sitting on a table, just looking at them. And that came from experience. And so that's how I wanted to approach also the industry. In fact, I wanted to become a great speaker. Now, what I did the 600 events in 3 years. So I'm the kind of person who goes all in. So I have the average of about 200 events a year. But I'm an event right now. I have an event tomorrow. I had an event yesterday. And that's how you become the best. And that's how I won actually the award for best public speaker in the UK that no other speakers did in the time frame that I did. And so that's how I applied the same experience.
Very cool. No, that's awesome. You mentioned that you're rated the number one best speaker in the UK. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, number one, congratulations. That's awesome. But number two.
And my English is not even that good.
Hey, you know, that actually interesting. I think it's an interesting point that you make, because even though, not that it is a barrier for you, but English, to some, they always believe that speakers always believe that when you go up in stage, you have to be the perfect speaker. You have to say the right things, and your English has to be perfect. And here you are, your English is great, but it's not perfect, so to speak. I don't even know what perfect is, but it's not perfect. But here you are just going out there with sheer hustle and determination, and you're absolutely kicking butt. So that's a proof to people that you can still do it. And the only setback is yourself. So again, kudos to you for that. I'm curious to hear more about your business. So you help people basically to sell without being a douchebag. So how do you do that?
Yeah, I'll tell you first what it started, the reason why it started, because I grew up quite a successful coaching business myself. So a lot of my clients were actually signing up to my courses to find their purpose. But what they wanted, they were asking me, how do you run your coaching business? So I had to change. I said, okay, the clients are talking, so let's pivot the business, let's change the business. And I found that we had a great success selling from seminars and selling from webinars. That's how we were getting our clients. But what I hated about the seminar industry is that a lot of speakers, they were, using these manipulative techniques, and they were like that. I personally didn't like that. And like myself, I had some friends around the industry that didn't like that. So I had to find a different way where I could make the same money and have the same conversions, but without just being honest, just being myself. And having a great product that really people wanted to buy. So instead of saying, let me become a great at sales and manipulating people, so let me become great at creating a service and understanding my industry and create a service that as soon as I mention it, people want to create a credit card out and want to pay me. And that was the key. So now I can, because the product and the service has been tested and we know what the market wants, what people want, know how to serve our coaches and our speakers. Then we can go in and just be ourselves. And that's how I've been doing it from the very beginning. It didn't happen overnight because it took a lot of testing. The first 52 seminars, I didn't sell a penny because I knew there was another way, but I just had to find my way of selling. So for the first 52 seminars, didn't sell anything. I did about 82 webinars. For the first 10 webinars, didn't sell anything. And then kind of find my groove and found a system that allowed me to sell having a great product without what I put it there being a douchebag.
No, that's good. Now, tell me about a time in life that you have felt blind in business. You're helping people achieve tremendous amounts of success, but there had to have been a time in your life where you felt lost or where you felt blind. So tell me about that time and how did you overcome it?
Well, I have a problem, and my problem is that I have the type A personality where I don't even recognize when I'm blind. Where I'm blind. And I have to say there was never a moment where I felt lost, because when I don't even realize it. I just put my head down and work more. That's my default response, which is in itself a blindness, because most of the time the answer is not put your head down and work more. It's to look for what is the blind spot or the missing piece. So that's a constant in my life, and I go around it because now I know this about myself. And I know that what I do right now is I surround myself with other people. So I have a mentor. Before I had a mentor, but now we have a board of directors in our business that are smarter than I am, that have been in this industry, that have built, seven, eight figures companies. And then they can see my blind spot. So then when my default is put my head down and work more, then they can say, hey, stop. That's what you're doing. The real problem is there. So now that's where you can fix it. And that's where my blindness is.
I like that. So at what point in time were you able to bring on a board of directors to kind of help you with that?
Well, actually, it's been 2 weeks ago. That was freaking awesome. Absolutely. That was freaking awesome. There was a change. There was my business partner's father. Because we have two sides of our business. I mean, there is the coach speaking side that is the main one. But also we have another side, and that's my business partner taking care of that side.
So what
and
side?
his
Can you say
father
that
built
again?
a AP
What side was it? You said that you have the one side, which is the coaching and speaking. The
coaching
second side is what?
is giving sales training for recruitment agencies. So we specialize in recruitment agencies that are small to medium, that don't have a learning and development department, and we go in and we build it for them. We give them the training to all their staff because they don't have training in-house. So that's what we do. And my business partner's father has been building, you know, seven figures, that's a recruitment agency, and sold them, and has been in business for a while. So now he retired, and now he stepped in as a board of directors, non-executive director for us. Then we had a great accountant coming in, experienced in dealing with six, seven, and also large businesses as well. So then they can help us out to plug the holes that we have. Because one thing that I'm known good at making money, serving clients. All the rest, I need people around
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, it sounds as if that you focused and you figured out what you're good at, and as you stated before, you go all in on it, and that's a very good quality to
Absolutely. And
have.
before that, we didn't, because some of you listeners right now say, oh yeah, you know what? I don't have a board of director, don't have my business partner. I don't even have a business partner. So I would say hire someone else, because that's how we did before. We had someone else, we had a mentor that was a step ahead, but not too far away, not too far ahead, but couple of steps ahead in our industry. They knew what kind of pitfalls we could face and could help us give another perspective. And that was brilliant.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, something that's really hard to obtain, and a lot of companies are still looking for their first 100 customers. But I'm curious to hear how you were able to accomplish and achieve your first 100 customers. How were you able to do that through marketing? How were you able to do that through services?
Absolutely. So the first 100 customer, they came from events. That's how we did. So we used the event to attract people. And at the beginning, because when we started, no one knew us, right? So even if I were to put an event myself, and I see a lot of speakers doing it right now, you know, you start putting an event, no one knows you. Who the heck is going to come? No one is going to come, right? Or you might find the random person that generally come in because they have nothing else to do. The most of the time means they don't even have the money to buy. So I found that true. And so what we did, we started an event with external guests, people that were in our industries, that as a personal favor would come down and give a talk. And that worked for two ways. One, helped us associate with other industries. So our network grew massively. People were seeing us that we were starting at 22, two young lads, two young kids, just entering in this market of coaching, speaking. When you're thinking about this, a lot of people say, what do you have to teach me about your life? You're 22. What do you want to coach me on? Right? So we had all this to overcome when we started. And that's how leveraging other people around us helped us a lot. Then after we made a name for ourselves, then we were able to move away from getting other people, and people were just coming for us because we built network. So that's how we got in terms of marketing wise. And then sales wise, so that's how we got people in. And then how we converted them into clients was upselling a program from the event. And that's how we got the first 100. But I remember the first 10 or 15, we got them in conversations one to one, because it's one too many. It means that you already know that you have something that people want to buy, right? Because then you're there from the stage, so you want to make an offer, you want people to buy, so the program needs to be tested in some way. So having those 10, 15 clients up front and that we close in conversations one to one help us understand how to make a great offer that we knew that when we made it, people wanted it, so then we could actually get clients from the audience. And that's how we got the 100 customers.
Now, how long did it take you to validate this? You said you went through, I think it was like 56, I think the number was, meetings where events that you went to without getting a customer. Was there a point in time where you're just like, We're doing it. It's working. You know, all the hard work that we put in, like, it's actually coming to fruition. So do you remember that point in time that you knew that it was like this, we got something here?
I remember that like yesterday. You know, sometimes we do events and we can make, you know, 70,000, 80,000, 100,000 pounds a day. But that doesn't feel as great as that first time where we did an event and we made 800 pounds in one night. And before, we never made a penny. And that event where we had, you know, five people joining, I think, I don't know, we had 300 pounds in ticket sales and then another 500 pounds on the night. That event was the turning point for us when we knew, okay, now we are on. And that was a massive confidence boost. I remember we let people out at the end of the event. We had after the final chit chats, and me and my business partner closed the door, and we started like screaming in the room like crazy, like, we did it, we did it, we did it. Like, you can imagine me and him jumping around the room, high-fiving each other. It looked like a Tony Robbins seminar, but just with two of us. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. It was the most beautiful moment of, not the most beautiful moment of my life. Otherwise, you'd think I'm a very sad person, but it was a great moment.
No, sure. It was a good milestone. I respect that. That's awesome. And to be a fly in the room at that time, to watch you guys jump around like crazy people, that would have been a good time. I'm curious, you mentioned Tony Robbins, but I'm curious to hear your answer for this one. Is there anyone that you would like to meet to further help your business, and why would you like to meet them?
You mean as influencers, an influencer, someone?
Yeah, an influencer, or it could be, yeah, I know you like the NBA, so it could be a sports star. I mean, who knows? Is there anyone that comes to mind, first person that comes to mind when I ask that question, who would you like to meet to help your business, and why would you like to meet them?
Yeah, okay, right. That's a great question. I was fortunate enough to meet already great people. Met Tony Robbins, met Gary Vee, did an event with him, did an event with Les Brown. So it's great people that I had in my bucket list to meet. The next person I would love to meet is Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek, author of Start With Why, I think is one of the most influential people and influencer that I'm following at the moment. And the reason why I love his style is because in a way that people can understand it, and also he's a marketing genius, in my opinion. And in fact, we are planning an event with Simon Sinek as well. And this is something that is not happening yet, but we are pushing our doors in to see how can we meet him and putting an event with him that's in the pipeline, that we put it out there. And somehow it's going to happen.
Very cool. No, I like that. You just put it out into the universe, and then the universe will find a way to bring it back to you. We're going to change the conversation up a little bit. We have a good foundation of who you are as a business professional, but I want to know more about who you are as a person. So what habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
What habits? Okay, definitely start from the night before, making a list of what I'm going to do the day after, and then cutting the list down to one or two things. That was the biggest thing that I ever had, to-do list. 25, 26 different things to do in every day. And then all I could do was one or two anyway. So I felt bad about the remaining 23 that were there. And just putting, you know, one or two things and say, today, if everything could happen, I'm just going to do those things. Then all the rest is plus. That made a huge, huge difference. And the other thing, I know we are going cliche here, but it's meditation. Not too much, because I don't like to sit still for too long. I did a 10-day Vipassana retreat where for 10 days you just stay there and meditate and don't talk to anyone. That was one of the most brutal experiences of my life, because I love to talk with people. But 10 minutes a day in the morning clears my mind, set my intentions for the day. And these are the things that I'm doing in the morning. And then another thing that helps me out as well in terms of habit that I have, if I work from home, every 1 hour I do 10 push-ups, 10 squat, 20 squats, and 1 minute plank every 1 hour when I'm working from home. Because I looked at myself and I was spending, 10, 12 hours just sitting in front of the screen and not moving at all, sometimes even forgetting to eat. And I'm sure that many entrepreneurs can relate to that. So just having my alarm clock and say, okay, it takes me 1 minute, 10 push-ups, done.
I like that. I might steal that because I sit down a lot and I love working out. I love being active. So that's a huge nugget of information.
Yeah,
Now,
because I love playing basketball. I mean, we talked about basketball. I play basketball. I play two, three times a week. So I need to be fit for my basketball game.
yeah, somebody. So you got to dunk on somebody. So you got to keep that.
I wish, you know what? Because I'm about, what's that? I give it to you in centimeters because I don't know about inches.
Yeah.
I'm from Italy, we use centimeters. And I'm about 170, 172.
Okay.
Right, so I'm not that tall, but in my training, I got that before I'm dying, I'm gonna dunk. I don't know how, and so I'm training now. I'm doing a lot of jump training so that I can dunk. I'm about like that much from the rim right now. I need to get but I'm working on it.
Well, I don't know. Let's see if Siri. I don't know what 172 centimeters are, but let's ask.
Smaller than Isaiah Thomas.
Hey Siri, what is 172 centimeters in inches?
67.72 inches.
What is 67.2 inches in feet?
It's 5.6 feet.
All right, so you're on 5'6", 5'7", somewhere around there.
Exactly.
So that, I mean, hey, I can say that Nate Robinson, who was from the well, he played for a lot of teams,
I
but
remember
he
it
was
from
able to
New York.
dunk. He can dunk. You could dunk too if he can dunk.
Absolutely. I know that. I mean, he started dunking probably about 20 years younger than me, but so I got about.
Yeah, you definitely have a lot to you definitely have a lot of makeup, so to speak. But I think you could do it. Hey, if you put your mind to anything, I'm sure it's possible.
So I'll send you a text message when I do it.
Oh
You're
my
gonna be the
God,
first one
please
to know.
put it all over the internet. I'll be the first person to comment, and then my next post will be I will challenge you to a match. I'm 6 foot 2, so I don't know how many inches that centimeters that is, but I'd say I'm about like 7 or 8 inches, or whatever the number is, somewhere around there, taller, and I can't even dunk. So if you could
Do you
dunk,
play basketball?
I do play basketball. I would say I'm like a Kyle Korver or like a Peja Stojakovic type of character. I could shoot really well, but I can't dunk. So.
Right, so I'm coming to New York. If I knew it, because I played in the cage in New York. I was there about a month ago. If you want to go to New York, I'm coming next year. I'll contact you. We do a one-on-one.
Oh, please. That'd be awesome.
Awesome, deal.
I would be we have to get like a look, we can create an event out of it. There you go.
Absolutely, we
We
got a
can
crew
do a
coming.
speaking engagement, we can talk, and then we can play basketball. We can, who knows how many people will show up, but we can make it. I like this idea a lot. I'm totally down, Simone. Let's do it, man.
Okay, let's
My
make it.
next question is resources. So resources that you use every single day that you can't live without. I'm sure there's some type of technology or method that you use that makes you tick and makes you work. So what are some resources that you cannot live without?
Resources that I can't live without my virtual assistant. She manages my life. Without her, I've been working with her for the past 3 years, and my life was a mess before. Then she came, giving in terms of people. My wife, I consider my wife as a business resource. I hope she's not going to divorce me after I say this. But you know what? Just the fact of having someone keeping me grounded in the stressful moment, that's priceless. And if you're listening right now, you don't have a wife, you don't have a partner, that's fine. But if you have just someone that can keep you grounded in the moment where everything goes wrong, because it doesn't matter how big is the business. Like, the bigger is the business, the bigger are the things that go wrong. So is I will always need to be grounded to make those decisions in these critical moments, and that's priceless as well. Another thing that, in terms of practical resources, I can say something that I started using recently is tracking all my interaction in the sales pipeline, and I didn't use it before. I was using, you know, I can I started using a Trello board, and that was fine at the beginning, but having a professional that big of an expense, I added about 15 grand in a few days that I didn't even know they were there. And I'm saying, what, how much have I missed in the past 4 years without this tool? Because if we could find this in a few days that I set it up in 4 years, that was insane. So the one I'm using right now is Pipedrive. I know there are a lot of them. That's the one that I'm using at the moment. And I find it integrates with Google, with Gmail, with the calendar. It's very simple to use. Don't need a complex system. It's not that expensive.
Yeah, I like that. I've used
So
Pipedrive
yeah.
before, and it works really well. So it's good to hear that somebody else is using it to the fullest extent, like yourself. My last main question for you is: The Blind Entrepreneur, this podcast, was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business and cannot see the obvious. They may be stuck in a particular headspace. So, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
One is learn how to sell. Two is learn how to sell. And three is guess what? Learn how to sell. And you know, the reason why I'm saying the same thing three times, it is because if you learn how to sell, literally you will always have money. And you will always have clients. Sales is because you have another type of business where you have salesperson. You will need to sell your idea to get an investment. You will need to sell yourself to grow the brand. You are the person that people will look up to, that person that people will see, I want to buy from you. And if you don't know how to sell and how to sell yourself, then you're already out. Because the moment that you delegate always that part, if a key person that sell the sales goes out from the business, then you're out of business. So even if you're naturally, you know, some people are naturally good, other people need to work harder on this. But anyway, master sales, whether it's one-to-one, one-to-many, because then you will always have clients and the business can always grow no matter what happens.
Yeah, it's beautifully said. Couldn't agree more with how important sales are. So Simone, thank you for everything. You have successfully completed the podcast, so congratulations to you. The next 30 seconds is all yours. Do you feel like Steph Curry, like holding the championship trophy now that you completed this podcast?
Absolutely,
Exactly.
absolutely. I'm there. I'm there.
So tell us, again, the next 30 seconds is all yours. So tell everybody about how they can learn more about you, how they can be a part of your journey, and how they could potentially become a customer of yours.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So there are two ways. One, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably love podcasts too. So if you're a coach, a speaker, a trainer, you want to grow a six, seven-figure coaching business, subscribe to Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. So it's Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. Let me say it again. Explode Your Coaching Biz Show. You can find it on iTunes. And we interview successful coaches, speakers, and trainers where you can learn from. The other place you can join our Facebook group, which is, guess what? Explode Your Coaching Biz on Facebook. You can join there and you can connect with other influencers because you know that network is your net worth. So more collaborations you have, more introductions you have, the bigger is your business. So those are the two places, podcast and Facebook group.
Beautiful. Well, thank you those who are still watching and listening for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Everything you've heard today from Simone will be in the show notes, so check it out. To watch more videos, be sure to head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary, and I hope that after listening to the wisdom of Simone, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously. Don't forget.